Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2023 Home Education Conference held in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Thank you. All right, so how many of you want to nourish your family with healthy foods? I assume that's why you're here, right? Okay, make sure we're on the same page. How many of you know that what you're eating directly affects how you can function? Okay, well, we're going to get a little bit more into that so we can learn how that's affecting us. So welcome to Nutrition Equals Education. My name is Selena Sorensen, and we're here to break some of the myths. Myths like eating healthy costs too much, my family won't eat healthy food, I don't have time. So some of those things, we're going to break those down, and we're going to talk about how we can take the action today and why that's important. And so hopefully that's what you guys are here for too. So our lives are successful as our gut health is happy. And so I want you guys to take a couple of minutes and just write down your three biggest challenges, your intentions for coming here today. What are your three biggest challenges that are keeping you from having the vision that you held in your mind of having that happy, healthy family? So just take a minute and do that. What are your intentions, the three biggest challenges that you're facing, keeping you from having that healthy, thriving family? Okay, so you can keep working on that or thinking about that, but we want to give a big thank you. You guys join me in thanking those who made this possible. Can everybody just like send them some love with me right now? Hey, amazing event. Lots of work to put on these events. And also a big thank you. We're going to send some love to those people who made it possible for us to be here, whether it was your family, your friends, babysitters or whatever. Let's send them some love too. So thank you. All right. So who would like, we're going to take three people who want to share one of the, your things, of your intentions of being here today. Who would like to share? Thank you. To love the entire process of feeding your family, from food planning, or planting, did you say planting? No, from planning to preparing, yeah, all of it. Okay. Right? I hear that. Okay, awesome. Thank you for sharing. Okay, everybody give her a round of applause. Thank you. Okay, who else would like to share one of your intentions? So the challenge is your husband doing the grocery shopping versus you doing it. Yeah. 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 Okay. I hear you there. Everybody give her a round of applause. Thank you for sharing. And, well, sorry, I saw her hand earlier, so go ahead. Okay, so your intention is to be able to help your family eat healthy without creating a trauma experience around that. Does that say it? Okay, yeah, thank you for sharing. Awesome. Okay, so we're going to jump in here. But first of all, you know, why would you want to listen to me? Who am I, and, you know, why do I have anything worth saying? So I'll tell you a little bit about me. When I went off to college, you know, I had high standards, and I wanted to marry somebody who had high standards as well, because I knew that was really important for me going forward and being able to have family, and that was my first priority. So I had been raised on a ranch all my life and loved ranching, but up until that point in my life, I hadn't met anyone. Oh, I didn't know if I actually saw that or my eyes are tricking me. I wanted to keep ranching, but so far I hadn't met anyone that had those same standards that I had and was in my world of ranching. And so it just seemed like an impossibility to me to be able to marry somebody who had my standards and to live the lifestyle that I wanted to live. So I went off to school thinking, okay, I'm going to get into teaching FFA agriculture classes. I don't know if any of you know what FFA is, but I thought, I can do this, and then I can still have my ag world and marry somebody who has my standards, because that's my first priority. But God has a way of just blessing us immensely, and I met somebody that was my ideal. He had my standards. He was from a ranch. He was goal was to continue ranching, and he was able to be the succession in his family ranch, and it was just the perfect setup. So we got married, and we started into this perfect life that was just going to be wonderful. And then I turned into like the Wicked Witch of the West or something, but definitely not the person that I wanted to be. And I couldn't figure out what was happening. And my husband was like, what did I get myself into? And everything seemed so perfect. And now what? And so fortunately, my aunt, who had struggled with depression herself, realized or saw what was happening. And she was able to talk to me and help me to understand what depression was and how it was affecting me and our marriage and how it affected her and her life. And so we started to look for answers. And there was a few things that we found along the way. Medication didn't feel like the way for us because of wanting to start a family and being pregnant and nursing and all those things. And so we wanted to kind of stay away from and as many toxins, chemicals, and so forth. So we looked at counseling, and that was helpful and insightful, but not necessarily fixing the problem either, right? We found some natural things that also were helpful, but not necessarily quite reaching the core of what was happening. And when my third son was about 4 months old, so I had three boys at this time, and he was 4 months old, and he ended up being hospitalized due to kind of a freak accident. And we, everything turned out fine, and through the, again, miracles and God's great blessings, he turned out just fine, and everything was great as far as the appearance of everything, but we didn't realize that he had been given antibiotics while in the hospital. And so since I was nursing, I ended up getting thrush, which is a yeast infection, and it's very painful when you're nursing a baby. So pain can make you do a lot of things that you wouldn't normally do otherwise. I was in extreme pain, and quitting nursing was not really an option for me. It was very important to me to keep nursing. So I called my midwife in desperation, like, what do I do? And she said, okay, you have to cut out all sugars. I was like, I'm, you know, I was raised by a mom who was kind of anti-white sugar anyway and did mostly honey and things like that. So I already had a lot of that going for me, eating whole grains and things. And I was very opposed to cutting out like honey and fruits and things like that. And she's like, you have to get the candida, which is what causes, it's the bacteria in our guts that causes the yeast infections and the thrush and all host of other things. But she says, you have to be able to, you know, get that under control. And the only way to do that is cut out all sugars. So I was desperate, and I did it. And the first 30 days was really, really hard. And I didn't think I could make it through. But I feel like because I was cutting out all sugars and not just like white sugar, I was able to quickly get that candida under control. And my cravings were able to get under control quickly as well. And so after 30 days, I started to feel better. And after a few months, I started to realize that I hadn't been on the emotional roller coaster that I had been since I had been married. And let me go back a little bit and say that depression didn't just show up because I got married. Like, I was dealing with depression beforehand, and I recognize now what those symptoms were. But until it affected another person directly, it wasn't something that I had to face up to and pay attention to. And I didn't have as much guilt. You know, when all of a sudden I'm lashing out at somebody else and it's not my brothers or my parents, because, you know, that's just part of family life. But it's, you know, you're one, your best friend, and you're hurting them. Then you go through a lot of guilt and trauma that way. And you get to the point where you think that your family would be better off without you because you're just hurting them over and over again. And so I was so grateful that I was moving away from that, and because of this process of getting away from sugars and getting that candida cleared up in my gut. So it was just the beginning, though, and I was just starting to realize how much our foods affects our gut. Sugar is a huge culprit, and that's kind of the first step for anybody wanting to start eating healthy, is to get the sugar out. And when I say sugar, that includes white flour, because that easily converts into a simple carb, simple calorie that still is going to directly affect the serotonin, dopamine, all of those hormones in our brain that are telling us, you know, how to feel. And it really affects the good bacteria in our gut as well. If it's not a whole food, then the bad bacteria doesn't, it thrives in that, right? Just having those simple foods that are already broken down or fake foods or things like that, they just feed off of that. But the whole foods nourish the good bacteria. Were any of you in William's class just a minute ago? Maybe a couple. Okay, so you guys, it's the same thing that is happening in the soils is happening in our gut. Okay, so we have to be giving it the right environment for that good bacteria to grow. So yeah, getting rid of sugars was a huge step for me. But then I started to realize there was other things that I didn't even realize were a part of our system and our culture. And we, as ranchers, were feeding into that culture. So we raised cattle on a ranch in northeastern Nevada. And I, she said I had 9 kids. I failed to mention that. We have 9 kids. My oldest is 25, and our youngest just turned 6. And it's just been an amazing journey. We love having a big family, and it's a lot of fun. But the ranch has been a huge benefit to our lives, and we love having that space and the homeschooling environment to raise our family in. So as I started looking into what was affecting our guts, I realized glyphosate was a big contributor to either having a healthy gut or not. Anybody know what glyphosate is? Okay, just a couple. So have you guys heard of Roundup? Yeah, so Roundup is a weed killer, right? And it's just another name for glyphosate. So it's used in all major agriculture production systems. That's how they control the pests and the weeds. They're using all kinds of sides, right? Herbicides, insecticides to control that. And then they're putting artificial fertilizers on. So a host of these things that I didn't realize was happening in our industry, and we were a part of it. And so I became, did you have a question? Sorry, okay. Well, multiple times. They use it to kill the plant before it's harvested. So wheat is one of your safer ones. But yeah, a lot of the other grains, they're spraying it on to kill the plant so it all matures at the same time, right? So those seeds, they can harvest them all at the same time. Otherwise, harvesting is a little more challenging. And they get more production, right? And it's all about production. To production agriculture, that's what it is. It's about pounds. How many pounds can we sell? And we were a part of that, and it bothered me. And I was like, I don't want to feed into a system that I don't believe in, and I have to change this for myself. We were feeding our beef to our family right off of our ranch, and it was amazing. It was yummy and delicious and nutritious because it hadn't been fed those grains that they get once they go on to the feedlots and stuff, once they left our ranch and all the process they go through to wind up in the grocery store. So we started to transition to where we were feeding to a system that we more believed in. We started direct marketing grass-fed beef. I started studying more in depth what it really takes to have that healthy gut. And along that way, I was still struggling from all the aftermath of damaging my gut, and I was not able to eat more and more foods, and especially raw foods was really hard. And I was frustrated because I love salads, and you know, cooked vegetables are great, but I really wanted to be able to eat a wider variety of foods. So I decided to go on a gut healing diet, which was an amazing process, very difficult. But what that gut healing diet did was to starve out all of that negative bacteria and microbiome that wasn't benefiting me, and it healed the gut lining, so it sealed off all of those toxins leaking into my body, and then it started bringing in the good bacteria and nourishing that so that I could actually start to have the enzymes in my gut and those things that could handle the raw foods again. And so I'm happy to say I can eat salad every day, twice a day if I want now. And the other thing was my other son who struggled with depression. It was the happiest and best he's ever felt was when he was on that diet. Of course, he's an adult now, making his own choices and on his own journey. But it was an amazing time for him to see that there was some answers. Also, my husband and my son, who dealt with seasonal allergies, were able to start to get those under control. So there's so many things that we think aren't related, but it really is. What is happening in our gut is what is happening in our health, no matter what. And it's how we function. It's how our brains function. It's brain fog is a huge thing. Anybody struggle from brain fog? Okay. Autism. Anybody have any kids dealing with any level of autism? this gut healing diet and others is changing that life for people. The lady who started the gut healing diet that I did, her son had autism, and that's what she started putting this program together for, because she thought there was hope for her son, and she was able to heal him from autism. So we're told there's things that aren't healable, that aren't controllable, and we just are victims of circumstance and victims of the world that we live in. And that's absolutely not the case. So let's see where we're at on time. Yeah, it's called the GAPS diet. So I forget what it stands for, G-A-P-S, gut and psychological syndrome, something like that. I don't have that in front of me. But I will be sharing some more resources, and also at the end, I'll share my number, and you guys can text me your email, and I'll have lots of resources that I can get to you if you want to learn more about any of this. So we have come a long ways in our journey. Are we there all the way? Not yet. We just found out that we have a mold issue, so that's something else to be aware of. There's things besides just what you're eating that are affecting your environment. And I was really frustrated because we just kept hitting a wall, and we're eating, you know, the most amazing food you can have on the planet. We grow almost everything that we eat besides the grains, and we've sourced that from an organic farmer that's close to us. I've done all kinds of things, and, you know, the way that we prepare our foods and all of that. And so it's like, why are we still struggling with some of these things? I was still losing hair and hormonal imbalances and not sleeping. And so fortunately, through another program, I was able to realize that it was mold toxins that could be attributing to that. And so it's good to have your home tested. There's test kits that you can get off Amazon that you can do on your own. And it was a very interesting science experiment, too. So you could just have fun with that if it's your homeschooling. So that's one thing that I really struggled with is, like, you know, I had to do it all myself. I had to have all the answers, and that just wasn't the case. I need to do my part, and I need to start my journey. So those are three of the secrets that I want to share with you today. Real fast, some of the other things that we've been able to see in our family, besides my son having the accident when he was 4 months, we have been to the hospital, I think, three other times. When my oldest was born, I had a hospital birth. The rest were with a midwife. And then our middle son had a febrile seizures. And so the first one, we didn't really know, we hadn't had experience with that. And my brother, who had seizures, it was a serious condition. And so we didn't realize what a febrile seizure was at the time. So we took him to the hospital. We learned what that was. And then later we took him to have a CAT scan. So this may all just be good luck, but those are the only times that we've been to the hospital. We've never had broken bones. And to me, it's a testament that what you're eating really does make a difference in your health. We've gone to kind of the extreme. The good news is you don't have to go to the extreme. You don't have to do it all yourself, and we're going to talk about that. And after my third son, we've only had one cavity in the rest of my six kids, which is kind of phenomenal to me. So just, you know, some things that I think, you know, the way that you're feeding your family, not only is it going to help them to be able to learn and to have a clearer mind, and you to feel up to the challenges that you are facing and educating your children, but it really does make a difference in being able to function and have a happier, healthier life. So three secrets that we're going to talk about. First one is your family will eat good food. Does anybody believe that? Okay, more than I thought. Good. One time my sister-in-law needed me to watch her kids, and I'm known as kind of the mean aunt, you know, so her kids weren't really excited to come stay with me, and they all knew, you know, that we don't eat sugar and those things, but they have a great time with the kids and stuff, so it was fun, and I was very happy to do that, and the way they eat is completely different than the way we eat. But for snacks, I would set out, you know, a fruit tray and a vegetable tray, and you think that all the fruits would be gone by these kids and not the vegetables. The fruits did disappear first, but then the vegetables also disappeared. And my sister-in-law was like, how in the world did you get them to eat vegetables? And I was like, if it's there, they're going to eat it. So what you have available is what your children are going to eat. and that's what you're going to eat. So I'm a chocoholic. Anybody else? You can say you're an aholic, even if you don't currently eat it, because it's true, right? It controls you. And so I have to keep it out of my home. I don't have any white sugar in my house. I don't think right now currently. Sometimes I have some for the kids use that to starch their felt hats, cowboy hats. So I can't keep candy around. I can't keep any of that stuff around because I'm just past the point where I don't eat it. But then, of course, my kids are always asking about it, and then it's a constant fight. But I do keep healthy foods around. So I always have clementines, bananas, apples, oranges, something like that that's on the counter. And if they're hungry, I was like, help yourself. And sometimes I'll limit it, yeah, because it's like I can't stand food going all day long. So I'll be like, okay, it's snack time. You can have, you know, whatever you want. We also are a big, you know, what I put on the table is what you eat. I'm not a chef that's going to cater to everybody's different things. So just having a system in your home that works for your family. This is what we do in our home, and this is how it's going to work. So we do mostly honey, and then we also will use maple syrup, and I just buy that at Costco. They have an organic brand, and a lot of times you can get a really good price on that. Dates we'll use because we have this brownie recipe that's amazing, and I'll send that to you too if you want. And that has dates and some honey and some maples. So I find that if you're trying to transition away from the white sugars, white sugar and white flour, that the more that you can kind of mix your sweeteners, the more it tastes like the sweet that they're used to versus tasting like honey or tasting like maple or having that strong fruity taste or whatever it may be that you're using for sweeteners. So my favorite thing to do and most things is to do honey as kind of my main one, and then a little bit of maple syrup, a couple tablespoons, and then a dropper of stevia. And you want to be careful to source stevia as well. Although to me it's not as big of a deal because you're using this much compared to this much white sugar, right? So we have a bunch of recipes that I'd be happy to share with you that we've done. But the main thing that I do, because a lot of people when they move away from gluten, they start to incorporate all the gluten-free flours. And I found that the same problem with white flour kind of goes along with those. And my son, who is very sensitive to gluten, and we tried to use like the coconut flour that you buy at the store or the almond flour and things like that, it was still too much density for some reason, and it still gave him the pain. It was a little different than the gluten, but we decided to see if we could figure that out. So I found that just buying almonds and shredded coconut, and you can use oats, but sometimes if you're completely non-grains, we don't use oats, which sometimes we were. And so I would just take the almonds and the coconut and put them in a high-powered blender, like a Blendtec or a Vitamix, and blend that into a flour. Now, the thing is, it's going to affect the moisture that you're using because it's not going to absorb as much moisture as those dense flours. But for some reason, it was still maybe in a whole food enough state that it had all the enzymes and stuff there still versus just being that flour. And so they could tolerate that a lot better. So that's been our go-to. We use it all the time. I've transferred a lot of our cakes over to that. There's some things that just don't work, but there's a lot of recipes. That's what is so great about this, too. Then when I started, there was nothing, and there wasn't Instagram. And now if you can get on Instagram and, you know, just search for what you're looking for, there are so many people that you can find to follow who have amazing recipes, lots of ideas. But you do have to be careful because there's those who, you know, are these influencers, and they say that they're doing healthy, but they're still incorporating some of these foods that aren't whole foods because they're trying to, you know, get by. So you can, I think to be able to get your family to eat foods is you want to transition some of the recipes, but make it fun. Make it an enjoyable idea to try something new and to try something different and get them to understand the why. Why are you eating differently? Kids are so smart, and a lot of times they're going to jump on the bandwagon before you if they understand that it's important and why it's important. They're passionate about things. They're passionate about the health. Yes. And for your sanity, I would be okay with keeping it simple. Like, don't feel like you have to have 20,000 different, you know, new dessert recipes or, 20 different salads and salad dressings and things like that. Find the ones that work for you and just use it over and over. And help your children to understand that food is fuel and not life. Okay, it's the process, the means, the tool to help us to be able to enjoy life, not the reason to live. Does that make sense? And that's coming from a person who's addicted to food, right? And I love food and I love all the different flavors, but I love my mental capacity, my emotional health, and my physical health even more. And so we will have those treats once in a while, but I try to eliminate it in my home because there's way too many activities, right? You go here and you go there and everybody's got a treat, right? And it's very frustrating to me. Family, everything. So I felt like a victim, right? Like I couldn't break through that. But then when I had to put, at the time she was 7 years old and she had had a bacteria and so she was really sick and then it went to her gut. And so basically destroyed her gut. She couldn't keep water in because it would just come right back out throwing up or then it started to just diarrhea. Nothing would stay in. And so I started her on the GAPS diet. And so initially that's just bone broth. And immediately when I started that bone broth, she started to heal and she was able to keep that bone broth in and then we were able to add in different things. But it was a process. But at that point, I couldn't compromise. And so I realized there were answers. I could go to the teacher and explain to them the situation. And it doesn't have to be extreme. We just ate at a restaurant in Hawaii the other day and I was like, what do you cook this in? What oils do you cook it in? And they're like, well, we use this. Is it an allergy? And I was tempted to say, no, it's not an allergy. But I'm like, actually, it is an allergy. We are all actually allergic to those oils, the hydrogenated oils, vegetable oils. So you can say it's an allergy. For our family, we're choosing not to do this, and I'd really appreciate your support. And they would bring a clementine or, something, which sometimes wouldn't always work, but I would try to be like, okay. It's better than the alternative. They try, and I appreciate the try. But I also, at points, had to train my children, you need to come and ask me before you eat it. You can take it and thank them and be polite, but then come and talk to me before you eat it. And they were willing. And they, because I had taken the time to explain why and walk them through that process. And when we did trunk or treating, which I only can bring myself to do every once in a while. We took apples because we had apples. We had a fruit tree and we had all these apples and they were amazing, delicious. And the kids loved it and they came back for more. Why? Sometimes the parents were saying, no, you can only have so many pieces of candy, but they could have as many apples as they wanted. And they just enjoyed the apples. So even kids that aren't your own, they will appreciate those healthy snacks. A lot of times I'll volunteer. I'll bring the snacks. Things like that. And with family, you do just have to have those hard conversations and those hard boundaries. I found out that the more that I did not compromise, the faster progress that I made, not only in me being able to learn, but in our family being able to get to that new space. Yeah. Some of the places that you can find the why, reading Sugar Blues, be prepared for an amazing history lesson. And it's called Sugar Blues. Yeah, B-L-U-E-S. Sugar Blues. The history behind sugar and how it's come into our culture is just mind blowing. And you'll never want to do Halloween again, just saying. So another book, Potatoes Not Prozac, it was talking about how you can use foods versus medication to overcome depression. But again, it was the research in there, and this is real research, like she's actually done the work, not just made summations. And so it just really enlightened me. And they may seem like older books, but they're classics to me. Another place that I've gone has kind of been my food Bible. Not that I use the recipes out there because I don't live on the ocean, so I don't have access to fish and a lot of the things that she uses in there. But just reading the book and understanding the principles behind the oils that we eat, the way that we prepare our foods. So it's called Nourishing Traditions, and that's by Sally Fallon. And she took her summations and principles from Weston A. Price. So if you really want some heavy reading and understand, he went and studied ancient cultures and that were unaffected by modern civilization and were still this healthy, amazing state. And he figured out why and what they were doing. And he found the commonalities all over the world from these ancient cultures. So it's Weston A. Price, and I can't remember the name exactly of his book. But and there's foundations out there. There's groups all over Utah, the Weston A. Price foundations, that you can join. There's Facebook groups. So there's so many resources today. And I had to hunt through haystacks to find things then. But there's lots of resources now. And I'm happy to be a resource as well. You guys, I send out emails once a week. I have, you know, Instagram that I'm sharing things on. I don't keep up with it as well as I should, but I'm happy to answer questions, point in the right directions, share my sources so that you guys can find the resources that you need. So the other secret is to believe that you can progress quickly and to start now. And like I said, don't compromise. So the more that you don't compromise, the faster that you will progress. So you having those contingency plans, like we were talking about, having those talks with friends and family, helping your children to be able to answer their own questions and explain to people. So when I first started, it wasn't as hard as a journey as I know it's going to be for a lot of you, because I already knew how to cook with honey and whole wheat. But there are so many. You can just look up how to cook with honey and whole wheat, and it will just, you know, tell you, you know, reduce the liquids by a third. You know, so maybe you take out an egg, or you take, you know, do a little bit less milk, or you add in a little bit more flour. So there's lots of ideas and resources out there. So start with one thing and learn that and get comfortable with that, but don't take forever to do it, because the faster that you learn it, the more confident you'll be in being able to learn the next thing. And I kind of dragged my feet at first on learning new things and just thinking, oh, it's going to be so hard. I'm not ready. It took me years and years before I was willing to try sourdough. It just sounded like a huge chore. You know, you have to feed the thing, and then you have to know all this thing, and you have to watch the bubbles. It's about the science, but it's also about the art. And I just avoided it for so many years and just kept cooking with whole wheat and doing these things. And as soon as I made the switch to sourdough, it made cooking with whole wheat so much easier. And so I have a whole webinar that I did on whole wheat. I also am hoping to do one here on sourdough. But everybody seems to be doing sourdough now. But here's my caveat with sourdough is that if you are using the white flour, even if your start is from white flour, it is better for sure. And if you're doing it, keep doing it. But you can. They'll tell you can't, but you can use just 100% whole wheat flour and have successful sourdough. I'm not the best at the bread, but, you know, pancakes and waffles and pretty much any quick breads, we've been able to transfer and do sourdough tortillas, pizzas, all of that yummy stuff. And we get bread to work okay. You know, it's good toast. Sourdough is, and that's what's in Sally Fallon, Weston A. Price, talks about. It's not just about the foods they're eating. It's about the way we're preparing them. So grains of all kinds are made to be preserved, to be able to last long, long time, right? We know that. That's why we all have wheat buckets under our beds, right? How many of you? And so that's the way God designed them, so they would last, so they could get us through famine, you know, Joseph and all his brothers. But there's something on them called phytic acid, and that acid has a purpose to preserve them. But that same acid keeps it from breaking down in our guts and being able to use and have that available. And so we have to break down that phytic acid to be able to have it available for our health, for the microbiome to be able to thrive off of it. So most foods are better fermented. If you struggle with anything, whether it's gluten, a lot of people can't do wheat at all, but they can do sourdough. And it doesn't have to be non-gluten sourdough, which there is non-gluten sourdough, by the way. But some people still can't do that. But the other thing is grains have become so much higher in gluten because they've bred for that. that sounds funny. They bred it for bread, right? People wanted to be able to make all these amazing pastries and white bread and all of that. And it was the higher the gluten, the better those results were. And so that's what they were targeting in the production of that seed and being able to get it to that point, was to have more gluten. So the wheat that we have now is nothing like what they had in biblical times. It's so different. And if you can use ancient grains, sometimes people can handle the ancient grains even without doing sourdough because the gluten is so much less. I've heard of 3 people in the last year who've gone to Europe and been able to handle the gluten. They're just fine because their grains that they're using there are not as high in gluten as ours are here. And the same with lactose. People can be lactose intolerant, but they can handle yogurt, right? And they can handle certain cheeses and things like that because that fermentation process has happened. Okay, so that's all in that book by Sally Fallon. It explains a lot, but there's lots of other places that do it much easier than she does, but the principles in there of how to prepare food, they work. So we're going to move on to secret number 3 real fast. Do you guys think that eating healthy can save you time and money? Okay, so we have 1. Good for you. I'm going to repeat this. Eating healthy can save you time and money. Okay, and it doesn't feel like that when you're all day in the kitchen, but what are you doing in the kitchen when you're all day? Where are your kids? And what are they learning? And are you standing in line at the pharmaceutical place, at the doctor's office? You know, where are you saving time? Are you at the dentist's office? You know, I haven't taken my last 6 kids to the dentist until they need, you know, like braces or wisdom teeth out or something like that, or they're in pain. We don't go. So it can save you time and money in so many ways. But a lot of times we don't see that until later on, like when you're old and you're having to get all these prescriptions, or being in a retirement home. Anybody know how much it costs to live in a retirement home? It's an amazing amount of money. The longer you cannot live in a retirement home, you're going to save a ton of money. But we are so short-sighted, right? We want the McDonald's version. And so we have to kind of expand our view of that, especially with our children. Because right now they're going to be like, well, I had a piece of candy and I didn't get sick. So we have to really help them expand their vision there. But exactly what you're saying is what I want to point out, that calorie for calorie, what your kids are getting that is going to give them fuel for the day, it's going to be cheaper, right? But you can do things by, like, buying in bulk, finding places that you can buy in bulk, getting in on group buys. I see them all the time on Facebook for Utah especially. And it's still going to feel like a huge chunk that you're putting out there. But, like, buying our beef, the amount of protein and the nutrients you're going to get from a steak or, you know, a pound of ground beef, you know, you could spend... you could do 20 pounds and you still wouldn't get the nutrients that you got out of that 1 pound. Does that make sense? So it can go much farther than you think. So we're going to just scoot down here a little bit because I wanted to, and if you guys have more questions about that, I can give you more ideas, but we're going to run out of time here. So how many of you right now are feeling like this is impossible? Well, good. I'm glad some of you are feeling it's possible. But I want you to know that you can do it. There's somebody that I appreciate and listen to and revere and really reverence his opinion. His name is Russell M. Nelson. I'm sure many of you have heard of him. He said, we need to create places where we are safe, both physically and spiritually. When your home becomes a personal sanctuary of faith where the Spirit resides, your home becomes the first line of defense. And that's what I want for you guys to have for your children, that they have that first line of defense to withstand whatever, whether it is physical, emotional, mental. And believe me, it affects it all. And it affects our spirituality, too. That's why when we go in to help other countries, they're taking food. They're taking water. They're not just taking Book of Mormons or Bibles, right? So the adversary never stops attacking, so we can never stop preparing. The more self-reliant we are, temporally, emotionally, and spiritually, the more we are prepared to thwart Satan's relentless assaults. And I believe that. I've seen when my children have made choices that aren't good for their health, and Satan takes complete advantage of that. So it is estimated that 1 out of 2 kids will have autism in the next 10 years. So my question is, what happens then? Who takes care of those kids? Depression is on the rise, mental illness, mental health, emotional resilience, all of those things have been declining and lower than ever, and the suicide rates continue to rise. So we need to change something, right? We need to educate ourselves. There's so many things that we can learn and do and understand, and it's not about doing it perfectly, but it's about the process. If we're striving and we're implementing, we're making progress. So there's a lot of fake science out there, and they're spouting claims that have not really been researched thoroughly, but they're using enough. Anyway, I won't get into all that, but I'm going to be doing a lot of sharing that on my Instagram page. It's Selena Sorensen _regenerative. It's because I want people to understand what is happening and why we're getting all of these false claims out there about fake meats and all of those other things. But we need to be moving forward, helping our children move forward, because we don't want to watch our children suffer. We don't want to end up in a society that is going to collapse upon itself. And if the most of society is in this weakened state, and there's a few people who are thinking clearly and taking action, who's in control? And we could be the people who are thinking clearly and taking action and making a difference and influencing. Or it could be somebody else that wants power and more control. So we need to take action today. And if you want to text me at 775-934-3222. And you can just text me your email. And next week, I'll be sending out the ebooks that I've created. I have a Whole Foods ebook that can just help you jumpstart. It's not perfect, but it was something that I did a few years ago to help people. I have a few other ebooks with recipes. I have one that I just created, 32 grass-fed beef recipes. If you're not able to have grass-fed beef right now, it's still helpful to use with any beef that you have access to. If you want to learn more about glyphosate and how it's affecting our society as a whole, Dr. Zach Bush is an amazing he's a medical doctor, and he started to put two and two together, and now he's an advocate for that. He has some amazing YouTube videos. He's just done a lot of amazing work, so that's a good resource. So it's important to understand you do what you can where you're at, but always be working towards the next level. Eating healthy foods in our society today isn't necessarily giving you nutrients. Because of the way our food is grown, they're looking for pounds. They're dumping a bunch of nitrogen to the soil to grow a big plant and a big product, and that's how they get paid. But that big, delicious-looking product doesn't necessarily mean nutrients. So one tip that I can give you guys today is when you are looking for products, to rely on your taste and smell. If it smells like it's supposed to smell, like a strawberry smells like a strawberry, a carrot, you know, it doesn't necessarily have a smell, but when you taste it, it's sweet. They're supposed to taste sweet, right? So the better it tastes to you and the more fragrance it is, that's the higher the nutrients is. It's expected that eventually we'll all have this little gun, it's called, that you can point at something and it'll tell you I can't remember the term right now, but it tells you the nutrients, basically, level of the plant. Wouldn't that be awesome if we could purchase for nutrients and not pounds? But the other thing is, you can be growing your own food. You can look up William DeMille. If you didn't get to his class, he's teaching everybody how to garden, and it is awesome. So growing your own food is really important in today's society. And then finding those who do grow. If you don't grow food, find those who do. And talk to them about how they're growing food, and get the community working together to improve. Talk to your local farmers, your local ranchers, and start getting products from them, because our foods production and distribution system is very, risky right now. So we need to be looking for these other answers for ourselves. And we'll be happy to be your source of grass-fed beef if you would like to learn more about that. That'll also be part of the emails that I share with you guys. So did anybody have any last minute questions or things that you needed? Yes. 775-934-3222. Yes, I have these arguments and debate about it, but loving yourself, right? The more that you can see yourself for who you really are, for who God created you to be, and it's just like anything that you care about. The more you care about that thing, the more you're going to want to take care of it the right way. But then also some tricks that help is eating healthy fats. Increase your healthy fats. Lower the starchy carbs. And then a high quality protein. Those help me feel full and satiated. And it just helps me to think clearer longer, where I'm not feeling like I have to have something to get me through the day. So, yeah. Okay, thank you so much, you guys. It's been one really fun.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.